everyone, listeners wherever you are. Welcome to the first episode of the Washed Process Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Carter Moore, and with me is your other co-host, Kenneth Grasha.
Hey, Kenneth, what's up, man?
How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing so good. I'm glad to be here.
Dude, me too. I'm glad that we're doing this.
Yeah, it feels like a long time coming, so I'm glad we're doing it.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for months. In some ways, we've been talking about it for years. But I'm glad that we're finally talking at all.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we had the idea for a podcast, I think, what, 6 years ago?
At least.
Okay. At least 6 years ago. Back when podcasts were cool before they were uncool and then now cool again.
Totally. We're behind the bar on cool, but we are coming up on the wave, at least, everyone else has realized it's cool.
Exactly.
We knew about it before it was cool, but we just didn't do anything.
Yeah.
There we are. So what are we doing here? What is this about? Why are we doing a podcast?
Yeah, I mean, other than the fact that we are close friends, one of the things that I think I've always admired about you is the ability to ask important questions to people when you're sitting across them. You do a really good job at that. And I feel like that's something that that I care a lot about, is hearing those kind of conversations. And so sitting across from somebody with a cup of coffee, having a conversation about their life and their faith is something that's super important to me. I know it's important to you. And you, even when we were talking a couple years ago about how being quarantined really stopped that and made you feel kind of drawn to do that in a bigger way. Why don't you tell everybody about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I think this is a good point to like go into like, what are we doing here? What is this podcast about? And then we can dovetail into a little bit of why we may or may not be qualified to have these conversations at all, and a little bit about who we are, and then eventually like what does this become? So yeah, I think initially, you know, I've always loved the idea of talking about God and coffee together. You know, in 2011, actually, Ryan Desjardin, who's a mutual friend of ours, he's based in California. Him and I, we had an idea for a blog, I think. It may have been something else, but I'm pretty sure it was a blog called Being There, God That, where we talk about the coffees and God and the coffee shops that we've had. But, you know, the idea in general around coffee and building relationship and actually spending time with God, cultivating faith, cultivating friendships, relationships, all of that. A lot of that for me has centered around coffee shops. I don't know if that's because, you know, when you're poor and you're broke, and coffee shops will let you sit there and mooch off your Wi-Fi all day, or give you a big desk to work on when you have no desk. I'm not sure what it was, but a lot of my time has been spent at coffee shops. And I'm sure, I know yours has too. We've worked together at coffee shops. And then in 2020, when the pandemic upended the world for everyone, I couldn't go to coffee shops anymore, at least in Oregon. I know some states, you know, maybe had different restrictions, but at least here, and especially for the first year, couldn't really go anywhere. And for me, I realized that so much of how I connect with others, how I connect with God, the time that I need to myself was spent at coffee shops. And so I had to relearn a bit about how do I interact with people when I don't have this place of familiarity, when I have this place that facilitates those interactions. Sure, I can do it at home. I can call people, we can FaceTime, we can Zoom, and we've learned to do that. But it was through that I realized, man, I miss having conversations with people and I miss having them over good cups of coffee. I miss hearing about how people's lives are transforming, how God is working in their life, how creativity is influencing their life, what their passions are all about. You know, coffee is a good facilitator and a good equalizer for a lot of people. And for me, it just helps provide a space in many ways to have conversations. Like coffee is a vehicle to relationship for me. And so part of my intent with this podcast, at least, is to help bring that to life digitally and for people elsewhere. And so maybe we can have good conversations together, you and I, but also with some other folks around all these same types of things. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think that you're right. We've worked, not only have we worked in coffee shops together before, but I just feel so connected when we have a shared experience with people. And I've come to love coffee in a way that I did not growing up. You know, like I didn't really drink coffee until I started working with you at Starbucks, and they made me drink coffee. And then I was like, oh, this is actually pretty good. And then I just got introduced to better and better coffee as time has gone on. But one thing I really am interested in our conversations is that we have some connections to some people who have really awesome creative expression. And I am so interested in the idea of what we call the podcast, the washed process, the process that happens over time as you're a person of faith, the more that you look like the God that you serve, and how that takes time. And it impacts every area of your life, and it impacts creativity. And so this idea of being like, just like a coffee, you know, we see the wash process, and that affects the way that we experience it as we drink it. And I just, so that analogy, when we were kind of throwing around the idea of kind of taking a conversation with somebody and really focusing in, what is the way that you've been transformed or changed or experienced that process of life until the spot that they're at when we have them on the podcast. So that's something that is super interesting to me that I care a whole lot about. Not just hearing people's stories, but hearing that moment or the process of changing throughout life. So that's the reason that I wanted to do the podcast with you.
Yeah, I love that. And that actually brings up a good kind of segue into, like, why are we calling this the washed process? I mean, you alluded to it a little bit, but it's like, why are we doing it? And I think, you know, part of, I love puns. You love puns, but I really love them. And I went through a lot of names for how this could come to life. I mean, granted, we've been talking about it for years. And so we went through all of the usual suspects like Jehovah Java, Hebrews, Holy Grounds. You know, I had some that were like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spro, for those real nuanced coffee folks out there. But, you know, through it all, I think, you know, thinking about back to the idea of transformation, thinking about building relationships, going from one part of our life to another part of our life, whether that's as a person of faith, as someone who's just learning a new skill, kind of whatever that is, you know, the idea of process comes to life. And luckily, you know, for us, coffee has to go through a process, you know, from being this almost raw material, unusable fruit to something that we can grind and brew and drink. In the same way that, you know, we as people have to go through processes. And I think specifically as people of faith, Christian faith, that, you know, you go from being this raw kind of person, unformed in many ways, and, you know, through the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit, you end up becoming, hopefully in the end, more like Christ, more like you said, like the God that you serve. And so my hope for the washed process and why we named it is that transformation and the journey of transformation that both of us talk about and the guests that we have on talk about can resonate with every listener who's out there, and, you know, help them also in their journey and their process as they go from where they're at currently to where they eventually hope they want to be creatively, faith, life, parenthood, all of it.
Yeah. So as we start these conversations, we'll always start with a cup of coffee because that's what we're about. We love to have a great cups of coffee. So speaking of which, even today, we both have a cup of coffee in front of us. Why don't you tell everybody what you got and how you made it and how it tastes?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the hope is that all of us are able to share the same coffee in the future. We don't have that today, partly because I'm not a good planner and I did not send you any coffee, but today I'm drinking a washed process coffee from Colombia. It is a geisha varietal.
Ooh.
Very nice. This is actually my favorite coffee that I've had in 2022. This is roasted by White Label Coffee Club based here in Oregon. Which is where I'm at, based in Oregon. And yeah, it's an amazing, amazing coffee. You put it in your, like, you sip on it and it comes alive. I don't know. It does for me. The notes that they write on are floral, intense, sweet, delicate, exceptional purple fruits. I don't know. I guess there's a lot of purple fruits.
Yeah. There's enough that there are some that are exceptional and some that are not, apparently. I don't know how many there are, but...
Yeah, so this is a really special one for me in particular. I've really loved it, especially as it cools. It just becomes really sweet. And so, yeah, I saved a bit for this podcast today, and I'm excited to be drinking it. I brewed it. I actually made it over espresso today into an Americano. Oh, wow. Typically, you know, I'll probably change it up as we have more episodes, but today I went with the espresso, and, man, it is just hitting all of the right notes.
That's awesome. I love that one of the flavor notes is exceptional. Like, I just love that word is in there. That's a little.
It's in parentheses too. If you could see the bag, it's in parentheses where it says exceptional purple fruits.
Great. So I have got a coffee here. I'm in Kansas City, so I picked a local Kansas City place, and it is actually not turned out as well as I wanted it to, unfortunately. But
you're gonna leave it no name.
That's what it is. Well, now I feel like maybe I should, but I'm just gonna go ahead and throw the shade anyway. It's called the Roastery. Roastery is a local place here in Kansas City.
Sure.
And if you're local, you think of the Roastery as kind of like a different Starbucks, to be honest with you. But if you're not local, you're like, oh, the Roastery, that sounds nice. It's cool. It's a decent spot. I feel bad that I picked a blend today, but I was like, I know I had this on the shelf, so I pulled it down, made the coffee, and lo and behold, it just says blend on the front of it. So I have no idea where these beans are from. this is not the kind of intro. Your intro is like so beautiful. It's the best coffee you've had in 2022. It's this beautiful bag. It's got the word exceptional on it. This one's just like, hey, sucker, it's a blend. Get after it. It's not light and it's not dark. That's what it said. Like in the spectrum,
not,
it's like.
It's not light and it's not dark.
Yeah.
It's lukewarm. The spectrum is,
spit it from your mouth. No, so I will do better in the future, but this is what I've got right now. Roastery coffee here in Kansas City. I'm sure they have some wonderful, lovely coffees. In fact, I've had some. Their nitro cold brew is super good, but this is a miss today.
It's just not there. That's okay. You know,
I'm still gonna drink it, baby. It's good.
Yeah, and in the future, I'll send you coffee, and maybe we can all drink it. Otherwise, you can have your Roastery. I don't know. It actually reminds me of coffee. Like, this is not meant to be like a bougie coffee show at all. I mean, I'll drink the bougie coffee, and I hope that we do have the bougie coffee.
You made espresso at your house, right?
Okay, so it's a little fancy.
It's a little bougie.
Yeah, but you know. I think about back to my grandpa, actually, and him and his pals, they would go to McDonald's in the morning every day at 6 a.m., and they would just have $1 McDonald's coffee. And to me, I think about that, and like even in that setting, coffee is still a facilitator of relationship, whether it's super good beans that you are like $40 for 100 grams or really bad beans that are like 50 cents for 20 ounces. But hey... coffee is where it's at, and I'm glad that we can both be drinking something together. So it's also not like we're at a party and I have nothing in my hands to build, you know, then it's like, what are you doing here? So coffee is what we're doing here for
now.
That's
good. That's great.
But then the other part of it is like talking about, you know, all of the stuff that we mentioned before, transformation and growing, and what does that wash process mean for us? And so I thought maybe it'd be fun to take just a couple minutes to talk about each of our journeys and kind of where we've been and kind of, you know, it's from probably best from the time we met, which was what at this point, 13 years ago.
Yeah. About that. 2008, 2009, somewhere in there.
Yeah, man, we're old.
Late 08, early 09.
Late 08. That sounds cool. I think it was January of 09. Actually, I know it was January 10th.
Wow. The date, even, this guy.
Man, I left home. I left home, and I was like, I got to go. And then I hung out with you at a California Pizza Kitchen. So why don't you share a bit about your journey, and then I'll take the wheel from there.
So I moved to Colorado to be an intern, as did you. Yeah, you were in Colorado, but you
I was
to
already there,
Springs,
yeah.
Rather. So I moved to the Springs to be an intern in 2009, January 10th, specifically, apparently.
I don't know. You could have shown up whenever.
Yeah, I mean, I showed up in like October or November, but anyway, it doesn't matter. So I was an intern there for a couple of years, and I knew that I wanted to go into like paid pastoral vocational ministry life. That was like, I knew that's what I wanted to do. And that's what I wanted to do for a long time. And my journey has been about a decade of doing that as a volunteer in church settings. So the majority of my time working at churches has been on volunteer staff, and I've had to make ends meet in other ways. So I have had jobs that are crazy. Like I cleaned bathrooms in the middle of the night for a while. At one point, I used to pick up people who were recently deceased and move them to the morgue. That's a true story. I've been a Starbucks store manager, all kinds of crazy jobs throughout the time, and it's all been to support this this passion to be doing local church ministry, and have recently just stepped into a season of being on full-time paid staff at a church here in Kansas City. So my journey of transformation has been knowing my calling and trying to reconcile that with the outside forces and the real, kind of the nitty gritty of life. Like I was not able to get myself onto a staff position for a long time, but I was committed to several different communities and was committed to the idea of being a pastor affecting a community in that way. So I think that's been kind of the big overarching journey. In the midst of all of that, of course, I have just grown in life. So I have a wife and two beautiful kids. I've got a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old, and they're a blast. And been serving at this church that I'm currently at for 3 years, but on staff just for a few months here now. And in the midst, I just feel really grateful to have been so close to you and a couple of the other close friends that we have. We still connect every mm-hmm. week, and we haven't lived in the same state in, 6 years.
Years. Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time. So thank God for iMessage and group chats.
I know, seriously. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's true. We've definitely remained close, which I think is something that a lot of people unfortunately aren't able to do, and it's hard to build community. And so I'm really glad that we've been able to maintain that friendship.
Well, I think too, like, you know, we started on such a common thread. I mean, I think back to the 2010 era, I thought you were going to be a pastor on staff for years as well. I thought that's where you were going. And
hey, I did too.
And I thought that of a couple of our other friends. And maybe that's why I feel like we are even able to have some of these conversations. I mean, I wanted you to share your story, of course, but I think for us to have been able to look back on the last decade and go, wow, our lives ended up being a different path than we thought they would go. And yet we're still close and able to hear each other and listen to each other and ask deep questions, even though paths have gone differently. I don't know, that kind of transformational process is super interesting to me. Why don't you share your story?
Yeah, no, totally. Man, we both have been on different journeys for sure. And I do think our lives have turned out in many ways better than we hoped and different than we hoped, and sometimes more challenging than we probably anticipated. But yeah, you know, so thinking back, we met in 2009. I had graduated high school the previous year, and I was really into art in high school, and I was also really into church, but I never felt like those two worlds really melded together in a way that was relevant or interesting to me. I always felt like they were pretty at odds. Like, you can either be good at art and creativity, or you can be good at church, but good creativity did not exist in the church for me, at least at the time. And so I always felt like I was living in two different worlds, and then moved to Colorado Springs to be an intern with you. That was the, you know, hey, come be an intern with Kenny G. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll do that. That sounds fun. No, it was good. It was a year-long ministry internship with the goal of, you know, helping people move into full-time ministry. And I thought that was what I wanted. I thought, you know, I'm going to be a youth pastor. I love young people. And then I went on to be a youth pastor for a real hot second. I moved to Kansas, and it was at a time in my life that was really tumultuous. I had just lost a parent, and I felt really alone, and I was 21. And for a 21-year-old to move, you know, yeah, legally I'm an adult, but looking back, I was an infant. And I was just emotionally ill-equipped to be able to handle the loss of a parent and the seemingly loss of my community. and have to start a new job all at the same time. And so, you know, I was determined going into it that I wouldn't be a youth pastor statistic where I just was there for less than 2 years and then I left. And I was, and I had a few months, even a little while after that, to where, you know, like you were saying, you were just doing a bunch of jobs. I moved back to Colorado and I was just trying to figure it out. I worked at different coffee shops. I have held signs on the side of the road with you / for you at a spa company. I think you got me that job. I remember pulling off with you too, specifically at night on the side of the highway to put on signs.
Got to put those signs out in the middle of the road.
Yeah. I was once trying to be a photographer in a mall, and then I ended up just becoming a salesperson who worked for full commission. And then it was a really big bummer for me. And so then I just went back to being unemployed and sitting in a prayer room from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. pretty much every day. Cause I thought, wow, I mean, what I'm doing isn't working. So I'm just going to pray that God works something out. And then the bills came. And so then I went back to Starbucks, which is where I worked when I was right out of high school. And I thought, well, I know this, I know coffee. I know that they'll give me a paycheck. And so they did. And then you and I ended up working together for a couple of years at the same store. Yeah, you did. I was the shift manager.
That's right.
That's right. Supervisor. Sorry, shift supervisor. And but that was such a fun time, like doing life together, both at the church, but then also at coffee, and like both of our worlds overlapped. And then eventually, you know, the creative endeavors that I had through photography and social media and design and all of that kind of culminated in this moment where I was able to start working for a startup, an app startup that was really rooted in photography and creativity, and they just exploded. And I was really, you know, fortunate to be there at the ground level when that kind of took off. And over the next 5 years, I just worked at that startup, and it opened up opportunities for me to eventually move to London and work for some of the world's biggest companies doing creative marketing. And I realized through that process, especially in the early days of that startup, that there is a world where I can be creative and still love God at the same time, and they don't have to be intrinsically connected to each other. Like, I don't have to be at this youth pastor who's ultra creative. I can just be like a normal person who's using the gifts that I think God has given me while still loving people the way He would love people. And granted, I'm not the best at creativity or loving people, but I think it was in that process over the last decade that I've really started to realize, like, man, I'm thankful to be where I'm at. I'm thankful to be in many ways like in the world, but not of the world. Like, you know, some of the marketing and tech environments that I've been are not always the most friendly to people of faith, but you know, I'm really fortunate to have that God has opened up a lot of doors where I can feel creatively fulfilled and still have the relational equity being built that I'm hoping for. And so, yeah, the process has been murky and hard. You know, we lost I got married in there somewhere. I also had a kid in there. She's now about a year and a half almost. And we've lived all over the world. We've lived in London. We've lived in the U.S. We've moved back to the U.S. Man, we've done so much, and it's looked so different than I thought it would, but I am really thankful for the process.
Yeah. I think one thing that comes to mind as we're talking about this is that we both have unique seats on the bus in terms of the faith. So I won't preach, but Ephesians 4 says, I know. But Ephesians 4 says,
you're a pastor now, a full-time paid pastor. So I would expect nothing less.
Anyway, traditional people who are in ministry have the job of equipping people. And then people who are not in traditional, like paid vocational ministry, the fivefold ministries, if you will, they are the equipped, right? And so we're sitting here from opposite perspectives of the same mission. Like, we want to see people walk close with Jesus of Nazareth, live the way of Christ. That's like probably my favorite way to put the faith, is to live the way of Christ. I love that kind of an idea. But anyway, but discipleship is everybody's job, right? Like, that's everybody. Nobody gets out of discipleship, because that's just part of being Christian. But whether or not we are equipping or being equipped to be in the world, that's the difference. And so what I'm interested in is, as we start to have these conversations, we get to kind of ask some different questions, you know, and see some people as they're like, okay, so how are you equipped in your specific way to invest? Like, that's what you're talking about. You are creative. You're a creative person, and you're very successful in your creativity. You've done a great job for yourself, and you've kind of made your corner in the world, working for some of the biggest companies in the world. And so then talking about the transformation of how you've become equipped to show the love of Jesus and to display that in those areas is really cool. And to hear that from other people, like business owners or people who are creative through social media or people who are, you know, photographers. I know we have a lot of friends who are photographers. So just to hear that perspective from them is, I don't know, super interesting to me. I think there's a really interesting cross-section that comes from there. And you and I have unique perspectives from which to approach that, you know, because my perspective is going to be, how can somebody be equipped to live that way? And your perspective is going to be, you know, how is this person gaining that equipping? I don't know. Just, I think there's that piece that comes from that Ephesians 4 idea is a part of that for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I guess that's a good segue too into thinking about, like, what is, for people who are listening still this far into the podcast on episode one, like, what is this supposed to become? What are we trying to do? And, you know, I hope that, you know, through some of the guests that we have come on, and you kind of alluded to the types that would be on, that we can demonstrate what life and transformation and creativity and faith all look together for people of various backgrounds. You know, we'll have conversations with people who are in the creative industry, people who are just parents, people who are full-time pastors, people who are full-time artists, you know, people kind of walk the equipped and equipper route that you just mentioned, and get a chance to see, you know, what people are doing. And so, that going back to, you know, the initial idea of this is, like, I hope that through this we can build relationship and community with individuals from all walks of life, and let, you know, all of that happen over some of these good or bad cups of coffee, hopefully good. And, you know, my hope for this is really just to do that. I don't have an agenda other than really trying to talk with interesting people and hang out with friends through this, you know. And so for people who are coming to this podcast to expect a certain type of thing or a certain format, like, we're going to do our best to, you know, make it sharp and consistent each week, but also ask for the grace and understanding that this is pretty fluid and we're learning. This is the first time we've done this. And I want to be upfront with that. Like, I am not a full-time podcaster, and there will be probably some choppy waters, and I might say things that I end up regretting, so don't cancel me on Twitter, please. And, you know, just come to me Matthew 18 style and just hit me directly in the DMs and just say, I don't know if I like what you just said on that podcast episode, but, man, I'm just excited to hang out with you, Kenny, and hopefully get to know some of our listeners too. You know, I'm really interested in people who leave feedback, people who have thoughts to say, people who would recommend coffees and other individuals that we should check out. Yeah, I don't know. I consider this a work in progress or part of the process. But just early stages process.
Yeah, I think one thing I first of all, I hope that we get to try a bunch of different coffees. One of the things that this is going to do for me is push me to try coffees I haven't tried before, which I'm really excited about that. So I know that that's maybe a goofy thing, but I think that's going to be a huge part for me. And I would hope that we can get to the place where we're drinking, that listeners can drink the same coffee that we're drinking, and that kind of shared communal experience can kind of grow, which I think would be fun. But like you're saying, like, I so love meeting a new person and hearing their story and then asking them questions. And so somebody signing up to be a part of that kind of a thing, that makes me really excited. So I think that's one thing for me, is that I'm really excited to meet new people. I've stopped being a barista in a coffee shop, and now I kind of have my own little insulated world. And so I have to work extra hard to get around people who are new to me because everybody around me, I know, and I've known for years now. And so, so this is something that's really exciting to me, is to hear perspectives that are different than my own, and life experiences that are different than my own. So I'm excited about those kind of conversations to come from this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're 100% right on that. Yeah. I don't know. I love good coffee. I love good friends. And, I'm excited for whatever this ends up becoming, but yeah, I don't know. I really,
so every
hope
week we'll do, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, no. I'm just ideating out loud now. You got to bring me back.
That's great. No, so I think that every week we'll do a coffee, and hopefully the same coffee. We'll all taste it and talk about how we prepared it. Then we will, you know, interview our person like we've done here. And then something that we want to end with is kind of a lightning round of questions that will stay the same depending on the season. So season one, we've got our lightning round questions. You want to jump into that right now, or you had something else you want to do?
No, I think the lightning round questions are good, and I actually think that's where I was trying to get, and I had a mental gap, and you brought me back. You filled that gap.
There you go. I'm happy to do it. All right, I'm going to have you go first. You ready?
Yeah, you're asking me the questions, and just for clarity, these are questions we will ask everyone at some point on this podcast.
Same questions for season one. They'll all be the same questions. And the idea is they are lightning rounds. So don't take a whole lot of time to think about them. Don't diagram it on a whiteboard or on a Notion page beforehand. just literally, literally the kind of first thing that comes to your mind type of a thing. You ready? Are you looking at them? Don't look at them.
No. I was turning the volume down on my mic because I think I was clipping.
You better not look at them. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
What is your favorite word?
My favorite word, as of right now, is probably, oh man, I don't know why I'm going to say this, but it reminds me of Benjamin Martinez when we were in 2009, the word perpendicular. I don't know. I just like how it sounds. Perpendicular.
That's a good sound to it.
It has good sound. That or hippopotamus.
You just like that harsh kind of
that piece. Like, yeah, I do.
Hippopotamus.
Hippopotamus.
Perpendicular.
Perpendicular.
What's your least favorite word?
Moist, hands down. I hate that word.
If you weren't doing what you're doing now, what would you like to do professionally?
Oh, professionally? I'd probably like to have my own business, either a coffee shop owner. I've always wanted to own a coffee shop. Or I've always wanted to start a stationery type of company. I really love journals and pens and paper and the idea of being textual with that. So, yeah, probably a stationery company.
That's awesome. What's one thing in your life you need to throw away?
Oh, God. One thing. The trash underneath my desk right now.
Without trying to be clever or cool, what's an album you love start to finish?
Oh, tough. I'm going to let the emo kid in me come through. I think Under Oath's Only Chasing Safety from 2004 is my favorite album from... it's my favorite album from start to finish. And I like that you asked from start to finish, because I don't really like singles. I like listening it through the whole way. But yeah, that's for me one of the most perfect albums.
What is your most memorable coffee experience?
Oh, this is good. I know the one. In 2016, we were living in Berkeley, California, and I really was into bougie coffee. And I was really into the New York Times Sunday Magazine. And so one particular Sunday in February of 2016, I went to Blue Bottle in Berkeley, newish opened cafe there, and they made a Brazil. I can't remember if it was washed or natural process. It doesn't matter. It was expensive. It was like $9 a cup. And then they gave me a little chocolate bar with it. And they said, you know, it'll cool, as you know, as it cools, it will change flavors, and you know, enjoy that chocolate with it. And I sat down with my New York Times Sunday Magazine. I don't remember what I read, but I do remember that when I drank that coffee with the chocolate, it just felt like just a bunch of strawberries. Like, it was one of the most vivid and bright and delicious coffees I've ever had. And I was the only person in that shop, and it just felt special to be there in the morning alone and kind of having that moment.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. Okay. Is that all the questions?
That's all of them.
Okay. I'm going to now pull the questions up. I have them fresh-ish in my mind.
I know. And, I put them away, but it's not fair. But
it's not fair because you just asked them, but I'm going to hit you with it. Okay. All right. What is your favorite word?
auspicious. It's always been my favorite word.
Auspicious.
Auspicious means lucky or like fortunate. But I remember literally looking it up in the dictionary as like a 12-year-old. And I was like, this is the coolest word I've ever seen. Auspicious.
I love it. Auspicious. What about, what is your least favorite word?
I don't know if it's a word. I hate being shushed. I hate that. So if that's Kenny, a word, shush. I think it's, yeah, see that.
Do you tell your kids to shush?
No, I tell them to be quiet. Okay. I don't think I shush them. I don't think I usually shush them. But anyway, that's shush. A good point. I should not do that to my kids. Anyway, being shushed, that S-H-H sound, that really just, it just gets on my nerves.
Shush.
Yeah, I think it's just because I like one of my strengths is that the things that I like to do is to communicate.
Yeah.
And so like that being shut down in an aggressive way like that is so, just gets me.
If you weren't doing what you are now, what would you be doing? Don't say Starbucks manager.
Oh, I would not say Starbucks manager. No hate to the Starbucks managers out there. I know what that life is like, but that wouldn't be my number one. Even though I have no published writings, to be fair, I have always thought that it would be great to be a journalist specifically. So like to report on things, to go like, I don't know, to be somebody who's kind of at the cutting edge of what's happening either in the world or in a particular sliver. Like music industry would be fun for me. Movie industry, I've always enjoyed those types of things. So writing about art would be something for me that I've always wanted to do.
What is one thing you need to throw away right now?
I can think of 10 things I need to throw away. One thing I need to throw away right now, I have this old t-shirt that is an X-Men t-shirt. I got it at a thrift store when I was 18. It's awesome. You can't hardly even see the lettering anymore. It's just such a sentimental thing. It doesn't even fit, but it's like, I've gone to try and throw that thing away like 5 times. And I'm like, this is what 18-year-old Kenny wore all the time. I don't know if I can throw it away. I've thrown away a whole bunch of other stuff from that time, but it's got holes in it, man. What am I doing? It doesn't, I don't nostalgia. Need that anymore.
It's the nostalgia.
It is. It's strong.
It's like throwing a part of yourself away.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you got to hold on to that, man. Otherwise, you're just an old dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without trying to be clever or cool, what is an album you love from start to finish?
There are a couple that come to mind, but we're going to go back to 2004 again, just like you. 2004's Hot Fuss by The Killers, top Ooh. To bottom, front to back, great so album. Just, yeah, you just literally put it on repeat. It just is that good. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that is definitely not clever or cool.
It really holds the test of time, though. You put that
it
on.
It really does. You could put you that just, on now.
Yeah, everyone would sing
For
it.
Real. Yeah. If I was trying to be cool or clever, it would be like Zeppelin 2 or... I don't know. There's some others for clever. But anyway, no, it's Hot Fuss. 2004, The Killers.
Love it. All right, final question. What is your most memorable coffee experience?
So the one that comes to mind is when we worked at Starbucks together. This is probably my favorite coffee story. So I think you know where I'm going with this one. But
I think so, but I like to hear it every time.
We all used to get off of work at the same time. We were openers or early morning types, and we would leave the store about 12 or 1, so we'd go catch lunch sometimes with a group. And so we went down to this Ethiopian restaurant in Colorado Springs, and we had the most amazing lunch. I mean, it was so good. We all loved Ethiopian food. And for those who don't know, Ethiopia is like the birthplace of modern coffees, where it was discovered. You know, the story goes that there was a goat herder who his goats were jumping around, Kaldi, the goat herder. Anyway, so there's the whole thing. Ethiopia is like strong coffee culture. So she asks if we want coffee. We want coffee, of course. And at the end of the day, she comes and she hands each of us a couple of green beans from Ethiopia.
I think this is the first time I'd seen green beans in real life.
That's true. I think me too. I mean, I knew theoretically that they had to be roasted, but like I had never seen them. So she hands each of us into our hands just a little bit of these green beans. And she says with tears in her eyes, just promise me one thing. Never drink Starbucks.
Oh, man.
And there was...
the brutality.
Two supervisors and three baristas, I think, at this table. I think it was 5 of us that we all worked at Starbucks. And there's a couple other people there too. But we were, I mean, shaken to our core. And she said, the basically that they had not been fairly treated. Her family had not been fairly treated by the corporation, and due to those that unfair treatment, they had to move to the United States. Well, we marched ourselves, you know, young and idealistic as we were, back to our store manager, and we said, "We all quit right now if you can't explain to us that this isn't happening anymore."
I remember that, man, but that was I do remember. It was so emotional, and I felt such guilt. She was totally crying. I did not expect that in Manitou Springs, Colorado, or Old Colorado City.
Somewhere.
Man. Yeah. I also think that was my first Ethiopian food time ever as well. I think you, you introduced me to Ethiopian food.
It's amazing. We had this experience. This is the first time in my life that I connected the industry to the individuals in the country farming these things and like actually taking care of the land. And so I have not liked big corporations in general in my life and tried to stay away from giving money that way. Although I worked at Starbucks, and I actually did end up working for Starbucks for many years. And one of the reasons was because when we came back, they were able to explain to us the new initiatives that they put in place within the last 5 or 6 years that, you know, before we had started working there to really take care of the farmers and make equitable practices and all that. We don't need to go into that, but basically, it was the first time that I realized that the coffee in my cup actually affected the lives of human beings somewhere on the planet who are working. It was like this connection for the first time in my life where I was like, oh man, we're all interconnected in this way. You know, like our supply chain actually directly involves this woman, her family. And for whatever mistakes Starbucks has tried to recover from, those mistakes caused her family in some way to move. And it was just a super powerful moment. So my most memorable coffee experience didn't even have to do with drinking coffee. It was literally just green beans in my hand. And she was like in tears, "Don't ever go to Starbucks." And we're like, yeah, we just left there. That was a crazy moment.
It was so brutal. But yeah, you're right. It was, I'm not going to co-opt your story, but I agree that it was a first moment for me as well, making that connection between how coffee is sourced and how it's grown versus how it actually comes to life. And actually, right. I think hopefully we'll have a guest on here that can maybe talk a little bit more about how their experiences with coffee directly with farmers and producers, can shed new light on how the coffee industry is continuing to change.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, there's the lightning questions. There they are.
Yeah, there's the questions. Thank you for answering. And for everyone else who's listening, you know, this is going to be an experiment in many ways, but we hope you keep coming back. And I think for those who would love to keep coming back, tell your friends, tell your family, tell people you don't think would like it, but you want to trick them into it anyway. And you can always follow us on social. We'll be at The Washed Process wherever we're at. I don't know all the social handles that we'll end up having, but we are on Instagram right now. And then you can always go to our website, thewashprocess.com, for updates, for upcoming guests, for maybe apparel and products and maybe coffee. I don't know. Maybe one day. And then on wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure you review us as well.
Only the good reviews.
Yeah, only the good ones. If you don't like us, the best way to do it is put 5 stars and then just write why you don't like us under 5 stars. It'll get noticed that way.
100%. And then you can just send me or Kenny an angry DM and I'll be happy to address it one-on-one. Even that's better, right? Like you get your feedback really noticed one-to-one versus just putting it on a billboard for everyone to see. Right. Wouldn't you rather have your issues resolved?
And maybe you don't like it, and but the strong reaction of not liking it, that should get 5 stars, I think.
Yeah, I think no matter what, we should come away with 5 stars. Yeah. However you need to justify it to yourself, that's between you and God. But for you and other listeners, 5 stars goes a long way.
5 stars.
It does. 5 stars. Anyway, so I think that's probably going to do it for us on this one. And thank you for being a part of this journey. Thank you for being a part of this process. Kenny, I really enjoyed getting to chat just you and I, but I'm really also looking forward to getting to chat with a bunch of other good people.
yeah, I can't wait to get some people in the room and the digital room, I guess, and answer some questions and get to know them better too. Thanks, man. Thanks for blocking out some time today. It's been great.
Yeah, absolutely. We will talk with you soon.
The Wash Process is produced by me, Kenny G, and it's written by myself and Carter Moore. Special thanks to Radiant Church, Kansas City, for letting me use their studio. The song you're hearing is called Spirit Blossom. It's by Roman B. Love. Carter is a photographer and writer based in the Pacific Northwest, and I am a youth and young adults pastor here in Kansas City. You can find us on Instagram at The Washed Process, and our website is thewashedprocess.com. Check out our show notes for more information and to see the coffees that we had today. Thank you so much for listening.